to all our Russian listeners, you kubnasos.
Hear you guys say it, I don't know what
to do with it. Is it bad?
I mean, it must be terrible.
No, it's actually so much more gross.
Ooh. Really? Can't be any grosser than a marinated dick. So, welcome to Accent Accidents, where Hannah, Anna, and Evan, and if you're new to this podcast, then welcome. Today, we're going to be talking to Ksenia. She is super awesome, and we'll find out more about her in a second. I just wanted to quickly say beforehand, if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. It really helps us. And if you did enjoy this episode or other episodes, please leave us a review. Okay, so we're going to get into it. Welcome, guys. So today we have our special guest, Ksenia Ansky. I think I've got that right. She was born and raised in Moscow, and Russian is her native language. She is an author, but interestingly, she also writes in English. Ksenia has written several novels and particularly focuses on dark fantasy. So, welcome, Ksenia.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. Did I get your name? Am I pronouncing it correctly?
That's fine. I just tell people, call me Bob. Bob is easy.
No. How do I pronounce it?
Bob, B-O-B. It's actually a Greek name, Ksenia. It means a foreigner, tourist, or, you know, I guess I'm a foreigner anywhere I go. And it's written with an X. But in English, for the Americans, it's really hard to pronounce K and S together. And when I used to write it with an X, people would call me Ksenia. And yeah. I would be like, that's not my name. There's actually a different Russian name, Zina, which is Z-I-N-A. So I spelled mine with K-S. And the closest people can usually get is Ksenia. Ksenia.
That's awful. That's exactly
is that silent? Is it Ksenia? Is it Ksenia? I'm like, it's Ksenia, like your coffee, like Ksenia.
That is awesome.
That's so. You know, I read somewhere, and school me on this, that like there's a lot of Greek influence in Russian language. Is that right?
It came with the Orthodox Church. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Correct. And that's where the names came from. A lot of it was influenced. And Russian language is very much a smorgasbord of different influences. In fact, today I'll be talking about some of the wonderful Russian swear words, and some of them came from Mongolian yoke when we were under Mongolians from, I think it's 12th century to 15th century, about 300 years, and the Russians hated that language so much that the words, you know, became swear words, especially words connected to genitalia or sexual organs and so on and so forth, as you can imagine. However, that's also a myth, because there are purely Russian swear words that came even before the 12th century. So it's a whole interesting history we can dive into, but some of it is pretty hysterical. I want to make you laugh. If I made you laugh, then we had a great podcast, right?
I mean, already I'm just like super excited that you're on the pod. You're so knowledgeable instantly about what we're talking about. Like, and I don't know if you know this or not, I'm sure you don't, but I was born and raised in Alaska. There's pockets of Russian Orthodox villages around where I grew up, and they were very secluded and kind of secretive, and I know that they are an outlier, right? Like kind of the Russian Orthodox kind of secluded village, just as you would find maybe Amish or something in America. Is that the Greek Orthodox and the Russian Orthodox, does it stem from the Greek Orthodox?
There are so many, and I am personally not religious. I do not have a lot of knowledge of that, except history or something that relates particularly to a really haunted and creepy church, because I'm writing a horror story.
Ooh, yeah.
Then I would dive into it. Otherwise, I don't know. I know that there are very many branches. There is everything from pagans from before Christianity, then Christianity around 8th century that came in. A lot of history of what changed to some of the really funny facts, like a lot of ornamentation and pictures and images that you would see or used to see in the Soviet propaganda, for example. And they would say it's communism, it's the friendship, and it's bullshit, because it actually came from pagan rituals of warding off evil spirits. And it's really funny if you see it, because you look and you go, ha ha ha, you guys, you totally missed it. You know, so that is the history of it. It's really rich, complex. The swearing in Russia is very juicy. You know, we're about to find out some really weird stuff I grew up with that you think it's only local, meaning in your family, and then you find out that everybody else is using it. And then as you get older, you're told not to say it because you go to a school where you can be, you know, punished is the mild word for saying bad words. But then you turn around, leave the school, everybody's talking like that. So you're like this confused Soviet kid going, what the fuck? And then, did I just say the bad word? Right. Oh my God, I'm going to burn in hell. Oh no, there is no hell. Oh wait, there's only, it's just like, you know.
I want to talk about Ksenia because I think you have such an interesting, like, background. You came here and then you, like, tell us how you got into writing, because I think it's very fascinating that you are an author in English, but you are from Russia.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I don't think I would have ever started writing in Russian. If it makes any sense, I did write as a teenager. I wrote poetry and I actually dug up my very early writing. I love to write letters and postcards, and I would be always illustrated with correct spelling. I was like four. I dug it up and I thought, okay, I guess I was born to tell stories. I didn't know that was called writing. To me, it was drawing because I loved the characters and spelling the words. But when I was writing essays and just my wild fantasies, I remember I got really bad grades in school. The teachers were really unhappy. There was this, we had literature in high school, and we had to write this essay. You know how everybody loves in high school to write essays, obviously. So it was some literary work. I described the city as a spider. I still remember. It was about World War I. It was the whites and the reds who were fighting. But the whole essay I wrote, it was about the spider. It was like the spider that was the city, and it was just swallowing these two forces. And the teacher said, this is so bad, she told me. You can't have that. There are no spiders. She trashed me. And I remember I felt so awful, and I just stopped writing.
Oh, my God.
You know, it takes just a little bit, and it just kind of went away from me. Then I moved here to America, which is also another story. I had to learn the language. I didn't know any English when I came here. And I especially loved it when a phone would ring and there would be this newspaper trying to sell me a subscription. And I couldn't even tell them to piss off because I didn't know how to say piss off. And I didn't even understand what they were telling me. But I had to learn it quickly. And I did. And then what I didn't know is I have a knack for languages. I just, you know, it just happens. And then I discovered English swearing, which in Russian, I can't even, my tongue wouldn't turn if there's an expression like that. In Russian, there's an expression, my tongue can't turn. So I can't, when I swear in Russian, if I have to say a word, it's like, oh my God, my whole body shudders. I can't. And then here, it almost like I have to be reborn anew with English language, new personality, new life. And maybe that sort of ask backwards from Kremlin answers your question, Anna. But the thing that got me to write was a lot of pain. I had been through trauma in my childhood that I've suppressed for many years, and some of my trips back to Russia triggered that. I came back, I had panic attacks, then depression, and ultimately thoughts of suicide, and writing is what pulled me out. It was so bad that, in fact, my therapist couldn't figure out what to do with me. So they finally sent me to a child therapist who does drama and drawing with kids, because nothing would work on me. And that's where I started drawing to just recall what happened. And then out of drawings, it came back to me when I was four, writing letters, you know, journaling, but like with pictures. And then through that, I started writing more and more and more. And then ultimately it shaped into my first trilogy, which is about teenage suicide. A lovely bedtime story, of course. And then, you know, and before that I was blogging. I discovered what blogging was because the things I was going through were very emotional, very dark. And I found that writing them out helped me process it, which is a whole another story too. I'm actually starting a startup right now with a partner to storify trauma. which I've done for myself for the last 8 years. We have developed a system which is going to be a software where you can go and you can take your trauma and process it by putting it into a story. Because with fiction, you gain distance and it's easier for you to process. So the reason, Anna, and my answer, again, the third time, to your question is English language gave me the freedom to talk about things I couldn't talk in Russian. Does that make sense?
That's so amazing.
That is really interesting.
I want to shift gears because I'm sure you have a lot of this since you've been in this country for so long. What are some common misconceptions that you come across in your daily life, whether it be being a writer, being in the startup world, being Russian, having a Russian accent? So what are some common misconceptions?
People take me for American, middle class, white, typical. They would sometimes listen and they would hear something faint. And so they'd ask me then, oh, where are you from? And then I'll make them guess. And that's the funny game that I love playing since I came here. They would say anything from Irish to French to German to Australian once. And I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. I mean, no way.
Nobody wants to be mistaken as an Australian.
Well, come on, my accent is so not Australian. And
yeah, totally.
I would tell people bigger, it's bigger, better, like not better, but better, B-A-D-D-R, the big, right. Bad giant, and they'll be like, no way. I'm like, way? So that is the biggest misconception. They'll be like, Russia? And they would look at me, and I'm like, what? And they say, but you speak so well. I said, well, I'm a KGB agent, one of the last ones. So anything they said prior has been recorded, and maybe I would run if I were you. So anyway, so that's one misconception. Another one is, as a writer, it would be really funny. People would be even messaging me saying, hey, can you write a memoir for me? Like, I have my life story. I'm like, oh my God, I'm just dying to do just that. Sure. And it would be constant, It's like, you're a writer. First of all, I don't have to pay you. Second of all, but that's what you love doing, right? And third of all, my life story is like the most amazing shit on the planet. And of course, you're going to be dying writing it. I'm like, well, how could you even doubt? Just my entire life I was waiting for this request. So that's one in terms of the writer. Another one is people would assume you have all this free time.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you're just a writer. Well, that's not really a job. But, can we go do this and can you do that? Can we schedule this meeting? Or don't even, And that would be really funny too, this assumption. And tragic. And then in some dark recesses of my mind, I would really want to cut off those people's heads, just for thinking that.
Put it in their memoir.
Exactly.
And then Ksenia murdered them.
Yes.
Yeah. The end.
So that's probably, I can come up with a lot more.
Well, on top of that, did you have any, when you first moved to America, was there any misconceptions that you initially had of Americans that now have?
Totally. Yeah. First of all, I have never seen skyscrapers before. They were so cool.
Oh.
I was in New York and I was like, oh my God. And it was, it's like when you're a kid and you feel totally stupid, but you just look up and you're like, I have never. It was like the most magical thing. Also, coming from cramped spaces. In Russia, everybody's on top of each other. Mm. The distance, it was very touchy. Like, you touch, not because you want it necessarily. I really love the distance here, by the way. But that was my very first shock, too, of this distance. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was when somebody asked me, how are you? And I just started studying English language. I said, oh, yeah. So I called my grandmother yesterday and she broke her hip and it's really bad. But, my uncle got her to the hospital in time. Oh, and by the way, I'm itching right over here, but I don't know if it's eczema or if it's something nastier or I'm not even sure. And and I'm hungry right now. Like, I didn't eat. Like, sometimes I used to get diarrhea when I was a little kid. And then there would be like this silence on the other end. And after the silence, I would be, how are you? And the person would be like, they'll be like, fine, and then see ya. And I was like, well, what did I say wrong? You asked me how I was.
Wait, okay, I love this because the two things that you said were when I was looking up common misconceptions between Russians and Americans, and you hit on actually almost three of them, but the space... Like, and there's so much space, and you're saying in Russia, everyone's on top of each other. That's a total, for me, I was like, wait, what? I'm imagining totally the opposite, because Russia, I have this idea that everything is so big and spread out. You're like 1/7 of the Earth's surface, and you're saying that everyone's on top of each other. I wouldn't imagine that at all.
What you're talking about is Russia as a country. I come from Moscow, from high rises that were packed with people, where you lived in the same apartment with your grandma and your great-grandma, and also your aunt, your mom, your your mom's husband or ex-husband, or maybe another child, and maybe two or three other sisters. Oh, there was also four dogs, and maybe a hedgehog, and also a pet rat. And by the way, there were maybe three cats, and sometimes there were like armies of cockroaches, and you send them to your neighbor because you loved your neighbor very much, but then the neighbor managed to send the cockroaches back. And I mean, you know, that's the apartment if you actually had your own apartment, or you lived in a communal apartment where you had a room, and in the same room you had your grandma and your in-laws who maybe listened on while you had this harried sex under the covers, hoping your children wouldn't hear because they were right there. And then in the morning, you stood in line, in queue, apologies, to the restroom where some other dude so loud that you could hear it. But there was a whole line, and the kitchen was shared too. And that's the fantastic phenomenon that's unique to Soviet Union that people here don't get.
No. Oh, wow. My God.
So these urban spaces, you are stacked on top of each other.
Yes. However, even in the spaces that are not stacked on top of each other, the personal boundaries, the privacy. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was writing a chapter today of my new thriller, The Dutch Murders. It's just a very sweet story about a serial killer. And in there, I was writing about this lack of privacy, which is characteristic for Russia, not because it's Russian per se, but after the communist regime, when you were not supposed to be private, not supposed to live life for yourself, you were part of a machine. And so everything was public. I mean,
so that's by design.
It's
like everyone is on top of each other so that we can see what everyone else is doing. Or is that like a communist misconception?
It was the way to rule the people, in the sense that if you think of religion, our religion was communism. Our God was Lenin, and his picture hung in every classroom, and he was always watching. And if you said the wrong word, you ended up in prison, or your parents were killed and shot in the middle of the night, and you would never find out. And I mean, Stalin killed how many millions of people?
Oh my God.
I'm not talking about war. I'm talking gulag and concentration camps. And so you were not even transparent. I mean, you didn't have your own life. And if you had any secrets at all, you either had to protect them or you tried to run away, or you tried to fight. And many people lost their lives because of that. So the culture of privacy, which was there, is gone, and even now it's beginning to come back, but you would see playgrounds destroyed, you know, vandalism anywhere, because it's like this outcry of people of not owning that,
right?
Because it never belonged to them. And so that's the remnant of communism, of this like equality for everybody, this bogus kind of a bullshit that's been fed into us. And there you have it.
There's this conception of Russians being very in public, being very abrupt and very to the point. And they choose their words carefully. They say how it is, whatever. But then in private is when you would say how you actually are. And so it sounds like you encountered that right away.
It's almost public in the sense that if you meet somebody on the street and you ask them how they are in Moscow, they can tell you their whole life, and then they ask you in return. You tell them their whole life, and within 20 minutes, your body's for life. You go have a drink together, then your families are forever connected by blood or whatever. I mean, it's just like, it just happens. And so it's unthinkable here.
Right.
In Russia, there is this, how would you call it? There is this sense of, what are you there to take from me? Mm. And before I let you in, I'm going to try to bite your head off, because what if you're here to bite my head off? Mm. There's this Russian cynicism and sarcasm. I had to teach myself to unlearn it because it could be mean. I was very mean to people. I would joke. I would use sarcasm to the detriment of it to hurt people. And I did not realize it until I came here, until I saw it in a different language. So I had to reteach myself language and understand what my words meant and what it was. It was my weapon to hurt people. And also it's a weapon of survival, if you want to call it defense. Because we Russians had to laugh at things, or we would cry and want to hang ourselves in the closet.
Right.
You know, so the sarcasm is very bitter. However, it's also spicy. Mm-hmm. And in some way, I miss it. At the same time, I also realize it has this other edge, and it can really hurt someone. And I did hurt people in the past with that. And once I saw it, I was like, oh, whoa, I did not realize the language can do that. And then I started digging, and I thought, oh, this is a history. This is where I come from.
Yeah.
That's my heritage. So it was hard to fight it. I'm still fighting it. I still make mistakes. That sucks. Well, we have a reputation for being crazy, and some of it is taking risks because there is nothing else. It was almost like you had nothing else to lose, and it was unspoken, but it's still hanging there. And so you would see that, and people would sometimes send me YouTube videos like, oh my God, did you see this crazy guy? They're doing this motorcycle race. Or, oh my God, did you see those crazy guys jumping up or something? Mm-hmm. They would send it to me because, oh my God, this is Russians. Russians are crazy. You're crazy. Yep. And I'm like, yeah, but there's a reason of where it's coming from. And then sometimes it's impossible to explain it. And that's why I write books. Yeah. Then I can give this whole background. Like, I just wrote 3,500 words this morning because I thought, okay, I don't have much time. I have to prepare for the bloody podcast because it will kill me if I won't.
Oh my God.
And then I started, so I cut my writing time short, and my daily goal is about 2,000 words. And I wrote 3,500. And I'm thinking, well, shit, I already thought that I had everything else to say, but I guess not. So I was just like, where is this stuff coming from? And that's where it's coming from, is from inability to speak about it. And that's what language does, and especially foreign language, the power to recount something that you perhaps could not talk about in your own native language because of the connection with the actual history. Also, the pressure. I mean, Russian literary authors. Yeah. Who the fuck do I think I am to take on that? You know what I mean? Writing books? What?
Right.
So it was easier to just go, oh, I don't care. I don't care if I screw up. Well, of course I did, but it was not. I had a blank slate. I could begin from nothing. And I love British swearing in particular. I don't know why.
Let's talk about swearing.
I think, was it the Four Weddings and the Funeral, the movie? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so fuck, fuck, fuckity, fuck. I love that. There was just, it was just something, you know, I would call my readers little shits, or I'd tell them, and I'm like, you gotta do it, little shits. And they're like, oh my God, I loved it that you called me a little shit. I'm like, you're weird, but I guess you're as weird as me. Yeah, I have a lot of, I have many British readers, and they would tell me, they would write me letters like, oh my God, I love your British humor. I'm like, you're off your rocker, right? Because I'm not even British. Like, I don't know how I have British humor. I haven't even started watching Monty Python until I got to America. So what are you talking about?
That's awesome. Yeah, from the little, like, I don't obviously don't know much about you, but like, I feel like you do have a really dry sense of humor, which is very British. So I can't.
I guess the dryness does come from this dry Russian sarcasm, and somehow it. I also lived for 4 years in Germany. And I used to speak German as fluently as I speak Russian now. Wow. And I used to do bad things, like talk people into giving me things and pretending I was Austrian teenager because I had literally no accent. Let's not even go there. But that's when I discovered, I was like, ooh, I can do languages.
Yeah, you're good at
those. Oh man, I can fuck around with people. This is cool.
It's a superpower.
So what other cuss words are... are good.
What are some good Russian ones?
Yeah, what are some, teach us some good Russian ones.
Russian swear words. Oh my God, you did not just ask me that. This is going to be so bad. Like I told you, my mouth like freezes up when I say it in Russian. It's хуй маринованный, which means it's marinated dick. So the funny part is that Russians eat a lot of marinated foods, you know, like pickles and like sauerkraut and all that. So the image of that, when I read that, I nearly pissed myself. I'm like, I gotta use it in my book. There's one of the characters says, "Ну ты хуй маринованный," and it's like, "What, you fucking marinated dick?" You know, just like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, what does that even mean? Are you like a dickhead? Like, what does it mean?
No, it literally means marinated dick. Like, it was cut off and marinated. You know, and
it's like a bag of dicks or something. You know how we say that.
Oh right, it's just a random. That's random. So
I guess it
funny.
Doesn't need any explanation. It's. It is.
God, I feel like we should do what's the word with these.
Yeah, do we? Should we play? Let's do it.
Okay, I know you guys are all so boring. You zanudas. Right,
zanudas.
Well, singular is zanuda.
That sounds zanuda. Like your whinger word, Hannah.
Yeah, you're all.
I was thinking old, like it means they're old,
like
old
an
farts.
Old fart.
An old fart.
Nope.
What's it mean?
It's staring you in the face, you guys.
Wait, say it again. Oh, like boring people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Nice.
We overthought it.
I would literally. Go easy on you the first time. It literally zanuda means. Like they drone on and on talking like fucking shut up you zanuda.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Zanuda.
Okay, all right, give us another one.
I can go really bad.
Let's just
try. Okay, говна sauce.
Okay, and so how would could you use that in a sentence with a bit of English in it?
Well, is there a particular person that you just have such a wealth of your opinion of them to tell them to their face, and you can put it all into one word, look them in the eye and say, you govna sauce.
Govna sauce?
Mm-hmm.
Govna sauce.
Oh my guys, hearing you guys say it is just, I'm almost losing it.
Is it bad?
It must be terrible.
To all our Russian listeners, you govna sauce.
Govna sauce. I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to say that you motherfucker.
No, it's
no,
so
it's
much
actually
worse.
So much more gross.
Ooh. Really? Oh. Can't be any grosser than a marinated dick.
This is worse than marinated dick for sure.
Okay, and you're the context you said is like somebody you like, you know everything about them, and you're kind of like, and you call them a govna sauce.
Well, once I tell you what that means, you will probably use it on that really annoying neighbor. You always wanted to tell them what you think of them. However, when you tell them that, you can say it with a smile, and they will have no clue. Yeah. You just told them.
You govna sauce. Okay, what's it mean?
Okay, it means. Shit sucker.
Shit sucker.
Oh.
It literally means that you suck on a piece of shit.
It's very literal. You suck on
very,
shit.
Yeah. So that's, I told you, it's really gross.
That's amazing.
Oh my God, that is awesome.
He's got the sauce. Okay, give us one more.
One more.
What's something that I can call or say to my wife? Like, I would say, you're being a little extra. Like,
you just need to calm down.
Oh, you need to calm down. Okay, what's a good one I could say?
I have one, but please don't say that to your
wife. Okay, what is it?
So, this is the Russian weirdness. And don't ask me, please, where this came from, because I don't know. This is like a phrase, almost, because it's so descriptive. I really do hope you forget it the moment you hear it.
Okay.
So, it's «пиздаты жопоглазые».
Oh, that's so
Pizdate
Russian.
Pizdate.
Yeah.
Wait, say it. Okay, say it again.
Pizdate zhopoglazaya.
Oh, that is the most Russian thing I've ever heard.
My God. Mm-hmm. If you say that to Tari, she's going to be like, I don't know if I want you to do this podcast anymore.
No, you guys, as soon as you
what
find out,
mean?
You will cut me off. Well,
I need to know.
Right,
you,
what's it mean?
Well, guess. Come on, that's the game, right?
Okay. And so I would...
You would say this when she's being a bit, like, over the top. I'm not going to be able to guess it.
No. Nope.
Can you guess it? Tell us.
Yeah.
Okay. You're a vagina with eyes on your ass.
Oh, oh my God! That is amazing! These crush the Australian What's the Word. I'm never going to be able to do it again. That is hilarious.
Oh, what? My God.
It's so descriptive.
This is...
I told you.
Because if you said that in English, Charlie would be like, okay.
Exactly. I mean, you can go easier. You can say pizdasu shani, which means a vagina with ears, but it's just not as spectacular.
The fact that there are variations of this is, like, amazing.
Yeah, there is a variation of this.
I see this, like, little Mr. Potato Head.
Yes, that's what I'm doing. I'm just
only
like
it's a vagina, and there's just, like, you got ears over here, you got eyes over here, and you're just adorable.
Eyes on your ass, yes.
This is like the Russian Toy Story.
Right?
Like, oh my God, it's so dark and twisted, and you've got this little, like...
Yeah, and people ask me, where'd you get your imagination? I'm like, I wish I didn't.
Right. Yeah, you don't want any of this. Trust me.
And so if you said that, I can see what you mean. Like, if you say it, you could say it lovingly.
You can say it affectionately. Yeah, and she can tell you that you're a marinated dick back there. Right.
What a conversation.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I have, like, a phrase that we could do, and we could try and do who does the best Russian accent.
Oh, yes. Let's do it.
Okay, so, I mean, this is just something when I was researching Russian accent, like bad Russian accents that people did in movies, and a lot of what came up is just the phrase, what are you talking about? And we have to try and put our best Russian accent to that.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Who's the best Russian segment?
We have to say this phrase?
Yeah, so we have to say it with our best Russian accent, and then Ksenia's going to rate us. Okay, who wants to go first?
Hannah, you're leading us off.
Okay. Yep.
I can't see you. It's better if I don't have the hangout so I don't get embarrassed. What are you talking about?
I'm laughing so hard, but I don't think I'll be any better.
Exactly. I don't think any of you will be any. Unless you can whip something out.
Oh, my God. This is really hard. Like, I think I have to have... You know how, like, in the Irish one, we had to have, like, get into it?
Yeah, yeah. What's your...
I have to be like, vodka.
Vodka.
What are you talking about?
Okay.
Is that it?
All right, go ahead.
Yeah. Like I like vampire. That. I like that warm up too. Vodka. What are you talking about?
Oh,
okay, that was better.
That was good.
Was okay, it though, Ksenia? I see your face.
You want me to hear say it?
Tell us.
Yeah. It's my turn, right? Okay. What are you talking about?
Oh, that was so good.
That was
good.
So good. Very authentic.
You nailed it.
I know.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Yeah, 10 out of 10.
Well, okay, there is a particular sort of sound there that you, like, rolled a lot more than we did. Say it again.
Yeah, break it up.
Okay. What? So there is no WH with a what, you know, with the little breath.
What? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There is, because we don't have that in Russian. I actually have to make an effort to say it this way because I'm so attuned to English language.
Interesting.
Now.
Yeah.
So, what? And what? Then R, you forget.
R. Oh, God, yeah. There it is.
What R? You. And you is like you.
You.
And then talking.
Talking.
Yeah, there's the G at the end because talking. The way we talking. Read the letters are Russian spelling is very particular. You actually say what you say as opposed to English.
Right.
Which for a long time baffled me. I'm like, but it says this. What do I have to say like that?
Oh my God.
About. I don't even about now that I'm saying it, I can't divorce it in my head from about, but what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Yeah, that's...
Yeah, no.
So that's...
Hannah, you win.
She just pulled it out at the end.
She did.
No, in the very beginning. She was good.
You're really?
The best. Yeah, it was like the most...
Evan's so offended.
That's okay.
You
that's
tried too hard as per
Russian
usual.
People, right? Yes.
I sounded like a vampire.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Like a bad vampire.
Like a bad vampire.
Oh my God, that is so awesome.
What are you talking about?
Okay, well, I think that's it, guys. Thank you so much, Ksenia, for joining us.
So then would I say, for Ksenia, for coming on the podcast, would I say spasiba?
Spasiba.
Spasiba. Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean?
Is that the right context?
Thank you. Well, yeah, but I mean, do I get something for it? It's not like it's free, right? Are you sending me a bottle of water?
Okay.
That's interesting.
So I would only say that.
Actually, there is a saying that I'll never forget, and I'll tell you the context of it maybe. It's a whole another discussion about money and economy and all of that, and what communism has done actually to the understanding of currency, money, money making business, and all of that. But when you tell somebody thank you, sometimes they turn around and tell you, well, I can't put your thinking in my pocket.
Ooh. Wow.
That's a burn.
Burn.
That is a burn.
Yes. That's a burn. Awesome. And
yeah. Well, anyway, spicy ba.
You can't put your thinking in my pocket.
Anna, do you want to outro us?
Yeah. Hannah, you're muted right now.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm just saying how amazing that you were, and we'll have to invite you back on so we can have a part two and we can break it all down again. But thank you so much for joining us.
You've been thank you perfect. For having me, like totally jumping into uncharted waters.
No.
Like,
yeah. Like I said, we'll make sure that we leave all of your links below, including those Facebook groups and your latest book that's coming out and where to buy it. Thanks again for joining us. And to you guys out there, give us a review, make sure that you subscribe, and we will see you next week. Bye, guys.